Okay. We were actually in Joshua, but we're going to skip that tonight since we got so many different people here. You don't have to raise your hand, but just in your mind, if everybody know that they're saved, if everybody know they trusted Christ, if you haven't, then you could just open your understanding tonight, open your hearts tonight as we look into some message, and hopefully you won't leave here without trusting him. And I know how it is for young people, younger people. We're all young, right?
Right.
Younger people. I know how it is for younger people that they get hung up on what they do. Old people too, don't they? Older people. They get hung up on them. They look at works. And the scripture said it's not by works. That means you don't have to go to church to be saved. You think, this is what I thought. That's why I can say this. I, like David said, I once was old. I once was young, but now I'm old. I once was young, but now I'm older. And I remember sitting in church Sunday after Sunday. I remember sitting in the back, and the preacher would preach and say, Christ died for your sins. He was buried, rose again the third day. Would you trust him? And in my mind, I would say, yes, I want to be saved. And then he would say, would you come down? Would you come down? And when he said that,
rose up.
That church, it went from maybe 50 feet to like a football field. And I said, not me. not today. I said, I'll get saved next week. But you know what? That's not what it takes. He could have stopped. He could have said, would you trust Christ that he died for you, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day? He said, that'll save you right there. But he added something to it. And the minute he added something to it, that made me think that I had to do that in order to be saved. But you don't have to do that. You could be saved sitting right where you are. You don't have to get up. You don't have to tell anybody. You will, though. You don't have to shake a person's hand. You don't have to sign a roll. You don't have to be water baptized. All you do is trust him and his finished work. And that does it. I didn't know that. I went to church and didn't know that. I went to church Sunday, and I left not knowing what it took to be saved. So tonight we're going to try to remove those barriers. And if you want to, it's a free gift. Like that cake. You come in and it's just sitting there. And she's, get a piece of cake. It's there. The Lord is like that. He says, get in on this salvation. It's free. And you don't worry about, I'd say, like my pastor used to say, well, what I'm doing this? Well, I got a boyfriend. I got a girlfriend. And that's what young people think about. And old people, too. They think about, this is real life. This is real life. They think about, well, because I know what I thought. I said, those people know me. And there's no way that I'm walking down there. Because that put the pressure on you. Because when you walk down, you're saying, I'm saved. I want to be saved. And then they say, well, I know Levert. And I saw him at the club. So, but I'm just, but my pastor used to say this. The man would say, he came, he said, Pastor, I want to be saved. He said, but I'm drinking. And he said, bring the bottle.
Amen.
Bring it with you. Because he won't save a drunk. He won't save a liar. He won't save a thief. You know what he saves?
Sinners.
He saves sinners.
Yeah.
Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. And you don't come to him after you put everything down. What did he die for?
Sins.
Okay, you missed the mark. So you don't come to him at, well, one, when I stop this, then I'll get saved. Or when I put this down, then I'll trust Christ. No, you trust him first. And then he does the work. Amen. See, don't worry about the hard part. The hard part is trying to show yourself acceptable to God. You can't do it. He said, I did that. He said, what I want you to do is trust me. I'm going to show you how easy this is. So look at some verses here. Look at Colossians chapter 2. So we get the cart ahead of the horse. And that's a hard pull. Like he said, it's hard to kick against the pricks. Well, Paul, you know what? You can't do it. Colossians chapter 2. He says this. Verse 8. I'll tell you what. Let's go back to verse 6. He says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, that is in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, just like college students here, what does complete mean? Whole? Complete? If you think of something total, if you think of something complete, what do you add to completion?
Finished.
You finished. When he was on the cross, he says, Father, it is what?
Finished.
It's finished. Everything that he required, he said, is finished. And he says that you, me, that we are complete where?
In him.
You know what that means? In him is this. The minute you find out what he did for you, then you have confidence in his work, not your work. So if somebody say, well, how you know you're saved? And you say, because I'm in him. I'm trusting in him, not me. So when you get up there, we're just going to go with the world. When you get up to St. Peter's Gate, they say when you... And that's it's all that's just a fictional story. He give me a reason why I should let you in.
Because I'm there.
That's wrong.
Because I paid my taxes and I didn't beat my wife.
Another wrong answer.
I paid my tax.
Another wrong answer. You know, it was a little track. You know, a track is a little booklet. And it had questions on there. Am I going to heaven? And it had all that stuff on there. I give. I love everybody. I go to church. Pay my tithes. Had a whole list of things. And it says, if you check, and people actually go through, I like to see them go through and they check them. And then when you get to the end, it says, if you
checked
any of these, you're nuts. You're not going to make it. Because everything that you have on that list is something that you can do. Something you know, if you got your hands in it. And if you got your hands in it, he says, I don't want it. The Lord said, when he said it's finished, he did the work. And he said, he says, I want you to trust in my work, my finished work. And he says, and you are complete in him. And you don't, the minute you trust him, you say, I believe that he died for me. You believe he died for you? Yes. For he was buried, yes, and God raised him.
Yes. For our justification.
For our justification. That is, to declare you righteous. And he said, you believe that, there's something that happens to you. 1 Corinthians says, by one spirit are we all baptized. You don't even feel that. It's spiritual. Sitting right there, it happens. You don't feel it. You don't see it. But it happened. And you embrace that by faith. Faith says, I believe the record. That's what happened. And he says, that's how you get in Christ. Remember we were talking about last, when God told Noah to come into the ark? And the scripture said, and the Lord shut him in.
He does the sealing.
He couldn't get out. He couldn't get out if he wanted to. And they couldn't get in if they wanted to. When you get in Christ, you're saved. When you make that spiritual transaction with the Lord, he knows. And you can't get out. You don't get saved today and then get lost next week. You get saved and you get sealed. You know what a seal is? A seal is a symbol. It denotes ownership. Seal. It denotes security. You know, you can take this. You know why you can go? If you go, how many people go to the store and buy a case of water that with the tops off of it? Would you do that? Why not?
Because it's been contaminated.
It's contaminated. Somebody, you know what? Somebody, now, it's still sealed up. What if I drop this in the mud?
Still sealed. Mm-hmm.
If it's sealed.
Okay.
If I drop it in the mud.
Rinse it off.
Pour something on it.
Still clean inside.
I could, you know what? Rinse it off. Pop that top. Couldn't you do that? Well, what about the Lord? If he says you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You know how long that is? A long time. Redemption, you know what? It's I don't know if they have. Maybe they do. In Detroit, what's that?
With the stamps, you go and redeem the stamps.
Oh, yeah, that's stores? Yeah. Well, we had. I don't know if they have layaway here.
Yeah,
they brought it back.
They do.
Okay. Well, in Detroit, we had what you call layaway. You know, you don't have all the money, but you tell them you want it, and then you put some money down on it, and you tell them I'll be back. You got so many days to redeem it. And you tell them, I'll be back next week. Or I'll be back next month. And then they give you the little stub. So when you come in, and you come in there and say, my name is Ryan, I'm here to pick up my package. If you don't have that stub, they're going to say, where's your stub? And you, oh, I left it at home. Come back next week. But if you got the stub, then you can give it to them, and they look at it, and they say, okay. They go get your package. You pay the rest. You take it. Well, the Lord said, you seal it with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. You get saved. He says, you belong to me, and I'll be back to get you. And when he does, to guarantee, you know what the verse in Timothy says, the Lord knows them that are his. You know how he knows? Look at Romans chapter 8.
Well, he's done put his seal on.
He did better than that. He didn't put a seal on you. He sealed you himself. He didn't say you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. You've been sealed with him. Look at Romans 8, verse 6. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Now that's, if you have never been saved, that's where you are. You're in the flesh. So that's why you can never do anything to please him. He looks at what you do and he says, "I can't accept that." Because you're pitting yourself and your righteousness and his works, your works against his righteousness and his works. And it'll never measure up. He says, you cannot please God. He says, you know what enmity means is it's enemy. It's a strong hatred. And you might say, "Well, I don't hate God." He says, "Yeah, you do. You should go to church. But if you're not saved," he says, "no, you hate me. Because you're trying to tell me that you're better than me." People don't look at it that way. As long as you go to God and you says, "Well, I'm doing this." He says, "You're an enemy. You're my enemy." Let me say that. In Philippians, he says this. He says, those people who say that Christ didn't do it all, he says they're enemies of the cross. That they're enemies of what he finished. He's saying, "I finished it." And you're saying,
"I'm doing it.
Not quite. I'm doing it." Right. Or "I'm adding to it." He says, "No. It's finished. If I finished it, don't tell me that I didn't finish it." And we're talking about God. Now, we're not talking about me and you. This is what God said. In Romans 8, he says this. He says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is what?"
None of his.
The minute you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in there. The minute you trust him, he comes in there. Like I said, you don't feel it. You just have to believe it. He comes in there and he seals you. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Start at verse 6:18. He says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of who? Which is where? No, at the church.
In you.
That's what they say. I remember they have church at the Holy Ghost headquarters. Like he at your little church over there. The Holy Ghost is where?
In you.
In you, which you have what?
Of God.
Of God. And ye are?
Not
your own. For ye are?
All of Christ.
Therefore,
glorify God in your body
and
in your spirit, which are God's.
That's heavy. That's heavy duty right there. I remember when I used to hear those verses in Detroit and my toes would curl up because I knew me. And then you know right there, you know what? It's on the line. It's on the line. That's like my pastor said, that's where the rubber hit the road. Because you don't have, after that, after you find out what he's done for you, he says, "You know what? You trust me." He said, "You've been bought with a price." What a price. You know what that? The precious blood. He shed his blood for you and for me. And he says, therefore, He said, I bought you. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. He says, I don't want you just thinking about me.
Present yourself a living sacrifice.
He says, I want you. You know, we were talking to some guys in another class, and they were talking about tithing. And I said, well, you know, I said, you put the number on there. I said, but if the Lord gets the man, he get 10%.
It's 100%.
If the Lord gets the man, right, he'll get 20%. The problem with Israel is he demanded it because they had a hard heart. He said, you give it to me. With us, he says, you've been bought with a price. He could demand service out of you. Did you know that? He's the Lord. He could say, you trust me, you have to do this. That's what the religious folk tell us. You trust Christ, you cannot sin. You cannot do this. You cannot do this. They put all those yokes on you. And that's what keeps people from trusting Christ. Because they put all these
performances
on you after. But he says, therefore, that's logic. You know, you start reasoning it out. He says, therefore, glorify God in your body. Why? What's the therefore? Therefore? He says, because he bought you. Now, can you imagine? This is the Lord from heaven. You trusted him. He comes in. He's right in there. You sealed to the day of redemption. He can't leave. And you know you trusted him. And all of a sudden, you know, on the weekend, you drag him to wherever we drag him. He's in here. When you trust him, he's in here. You don't leave him at home and pick him up, you know, on Sunday when you go to church. He's in there. This is what got. He's in there when you're where you don't want him to be. If you know what I mean. He's in there. And you know what? Look at Ephesians 4, verse 30.
Even when we're pretending he's not in there so we can do what we want, he's still there.
I like that. Ed said, even when we're pretending that he's not in there, when we're doing what we want to do, even then, yes,
he's still there.
Yeah. And you know what? He's there for the long haul. Amen. To the day of redemption. Yep. If he could leave, he would.
He should.
Right. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 20, start at verse 28. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are what?
Sealed.
Until?
Sealed.
You know what grieve means, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
Think about it. Grief in a mother's heart.
Grief.
You know,
sorrow.
Pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You mean tell me you can make the Lord sorry?
Mm-hmm.
Hurt. Yeah. Pain. And here's a mother. Here's a mother right here. Mm-hmm. Your children ever grieve you, mother?
Yes.
Now, you think about God, and he says, He said, don't grieve him. And you said, well, how do I grieve him? He can tell you how you grieve him. You grieve him when you steal. You grieve him when you steal. You grieve him when you let corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You grieve him, he says, when you're bitter, verse 31. When you at wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice. He said, and there's a whole lot of other things that, like in Galatians, there's other things too that grieve him. But he's saying, don't grieve him. He says, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. It ain't like a car, you know, you get in the car, you can get in the car and you get out of the car. But when you get in Christ, you're in there. And you go into heaven anyway. You know, you go into heaven despite yourself.
All right. Say that one more time.
Because it's not up to you.
That's so true.
That's what it means to be complete in him. Is he does something on your behalf and it's permanent. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
And that's what the seal does. You know what? It's Mr. Roy, you know this. You know they sure gel. You know what sure gel? I know you know what sure gel is. This is what they used to. My grandmother, they used to make.
I've canned before. I know what
sure gel. Okay.
The wax
on it. You put the. You know you buy it. Get the fruit. You pick the fruit. You boil it and get it all together. You make jelly out of it, molasses. Put it in the jar. And then they put that sure gel in there. And they put it in the jar and they seal it up. And my great-grandmother used to do that. And she'd make the molasses and we would put it in the smokehouse. In the back. Rats back there. Bugs. Spider webs. Dust.
Wasps.
All kind of stuff. But you know what? She say, go out when we go down there. She say, go in the little, they call it the little house. Go in the little house and get me a can of those molasses. And you're like, oh man, do I have to?
Say, I'm from the city.
And you go in there like this. But you know what? When you get it out after they clean it all off, and you can turn that lid, and you know what it say? That's how you know. You know what? It's been sealed, and that you make that little, you know, the top pop up like. And you take it out. Better than the store jelly. Much better. It's fresh, just like the day they put it in there. Well, the Lord, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I think I might have went, not 1 Thessalonians. Maybe it is.
What do you
five.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Yeah, that's it. 5:22. He says, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop right there. Now you read that and you say, that's impossible.
Right.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You say, Lord, I can't do that. But he says what? Verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also what?
Do it.
Do it. He says, you know what? You going in anyway. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you don't have to go through life number one, waiting to get saved.
Amen.
You can trust him tonight. And you know what? That's first thing you want to do is get saved and then let him. You're trying to figure out the details. Just get saved and start to learn. Right. And I guarantee you, you know what? It may be a year. It may be 2 years. It might be 10 years. But once that process gets going, he's going to do it.
Amen.
You might take some people have bad experiences that drive them back. But once the process gets going, you know what? And he's in there, he begins to work. Because all of a sudden, you know what? When you're out where you are, or doing what you're doing, it's a little voice in the back of your mind that says, what are you doing? You did get saved, didn't you? And you could do like I used to do.
Yeah.
Shake it off. But it don't go nowhere because he's in there. He'll be back. He'll be back again and says, you did get saved, didn't you?
Show us how to do it.
just shake your head.
You know, how to be saved.
How to be saved?
Show me how to be saved.
I'll show you how to be saved. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Sounds easy.
It's very, very easy. Chapter 15, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, 4. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are
saved,
if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that
Christ
died for our sins,
according to
the Scriptures, and that he was
buried,
and that he
rose again the third day,
according to the Scriptures. Now, he says this. He says, I'm delivering, and I'm delivering it unto you now. The same thing that I received. And this gospel, good news, he says, this will save you if you believe it. And he says, unless you believe in vain. That means, you know what, you might hear me, but you never make that heart right there. You never make a heart transaction. When I mean that, you know what? You're not really sincere about trusting him. And the thing that would make you not really sincere is the fact that maybe you think there's some good in you. Maybe you think, you know what? God is, he's okay. I'm not that bad. He said, yeah, you're that bad. You're worse. You're not just that bad. You're worse than that. But we don't look at it like that. Because, you know what? I never drank. I never smoked. But I was a sinner.
Oh, I drank, I smoked.
And see, we look at it like physical things that we see people do. But you know what? I stole before. And even that, it's just the fact, even if you had done any, if you had not done anything, he says, you came here and sinned. The reason you sin is because you're a sinner. Right?
We're selfish
people, right. I like the story Ed used about the cat. Where, yeah, I'm not even going through this whole story, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Where the man, I'll give a little bit of it, where the man had a little contest, and he taught the cat how to serve a meal. Or drinks. Taught the cat how to serve drinks. And one of the other guys came in and had a box with mice in it, right? And he flips the lid off. And when the mice jump out, guess what the cat did?
threw off his hat. Got down on all fours, chased him around, and
he did what cats do.
Is that right?
Why?
Because
that's his got a cat nature. Mm-hmm. You see these guys, and they say, you know what? Don't get these pets in your house. And they go get these exotic animals, and they be in the house. And next thing you know, the guy got mauled by the tiger. Oh, no kidding! Yeah, of course he did. Like, what is he supposed to do? Or you know, they get strangled by the snake. Whatever they do, the things that whatever their nature is, that's what they do.
Amen.
So if it's your nature to sin, guess what you'll do?
Sin.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
You can't suppress that. You're a sinner. My niece was. She's in college now, but she was maybe like 6 or 7 years old, and I was watching her, and my sister brought her over to the house, and I said, "Well, I'm gonna try to keep her from being bad or whatever." Got her some paper, laid the paper out on the table, got her the crayons, and so she can color, and she did pretty good. So I thought. So my sister came to pick her up, and we got ready to go, and we was taking her out, and then I went to the door, and it just caught my eye. I looked by my refrigerator. Guess what was on the refrigerator? Crayon scribble. I said, "What? All that paper?" And she chose to draw on the wall. That's what it is. That's sin. That is, you know what? You God puts a performance up, and you do the opposite. He said, "Don't steal. You steal. Don't lie. You lie. Don't speed. You speed. Don't walk on the grass. You walk on the grass.
Wet paint.
You touch it. Right. That's what that old man does.
All right.
Whatever, you know what? Don't come out your room. Whatever the requirement is, sin does the opposite. And the Lord says, "You're a sinner. You're a sinner." And you know what you say? "No, I'm not." That's sin. That's what sin. You know what? He said, "You're a sinner. You fall short." You said, "No, I'm not. I'm not that bad." Who's right?
God's right.
God's right. And you have to, you know what? Say it. God is right. I am a sinner. You come to him, he said, "Nah, we can work together." He says, "I've put my son here to take your place, whereby you are saved." Because if you keep your stance, then one day he'll withdraw his gift. And then you'll have to meet him on the terms of a judge and not a gracious God. And then, you know what? That's when you realize that you come up real short. You know, they have a amnesty period. Like in Detroit, you got all these tickets. You could, they had a certain time of the year, and people would save their tickets up because they knew it was coming. They knew at a certain time of the year they would send out this message. All your tickets, come in and, you know what, pay us whatever amount is, and they would dismiss all your tickets. So people would, they would pile all these tickets up, and when they gave that window, you take all your tickets up there. I never did it. But you could take all your tickets up there, and you could pay your tickets. But
with a discount.
That was with a discount. But that was only in that time frame. If you came after that, they say, "Sorry. The opportunity for you was last week." The Lord says, "You know what? Today. Today is the day of salvation. Why wait?"
Just got to believe it.
Right. What is there to think about? You know what? Satan said this. He'll say it. He says, "You don't really want to do that. You don't really want to do that tonight. What about the weekend?"
Uh-huh.
"Oh, I know. He said, well, you know what? What about this? What about that? I say like that. You know what? You say, well, I got a girlfriend. Bring her. I got a boyfriend. Bring him. You know, I drink. Bring it. Bring it. Whatever it is that's stopping you from trusting him, bring it. Because he says, I want you. We deal with the fruit later.
As you are.
Come as you are.
So he ain't going to get real mad if you make a mistake every night.
Frank. No, listen. Listen to this. Don't you know that he knows what your problem is?
He knows.
Christ Jesus came into the world to save
sinners.
Pretty good people.
No.
Sinners.
Sinners.
Sinners
sin.
Sinners sin. Right.
We're good at it.
He know, like he doesn't know. He doesn't know you go. You know what? You're gonna have problems after. I've been saved 20 years. You don't get this down like a test. You will have problems from here on out.
Would you have an advocate?
So you know what? It's done. He said you're complete in him.
Amen.
You're complete in him. In him. Mm-hmm. And how you get in him is when you see that he died for you. He was buried. He rose again. You trust him.
You're in.
You're in him. And you're sealed. Right. The seal is him. Like you can seal. If I seal a letter, I do this. I seal the letter and I mail it off. I just sealed it. Right. Mm-hmm. The contents are safe in that. But he said this. You seal with the Holy Spirit. If I take the letter, seal the letter and put it in here. I'll give you one better. What if I seal it and eat it? Now, is that a seal? How would they get to that letter? They'd have to cut me open, wouldn't they? You are complete. How could something happen to you? Look at Romans 8. Romans 8:28. He says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are
more than
conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, you think about this is the God of heaven and earth. He can't lie. And he said, you trust me, I'll save you, I'll seal you, I'll make you complete. And then he says, you know what, tonight he knows what you'll be doing 20 years from now. He says, those he called, you know how he calls you? He calls you. If you never trusted him, he's calling you tonight. When you hear his word and he's calling and he says, trust me tonight. He says, them he called, he justified them, he glorified them. He already sees it. He's waiting on you. And he says, well, what shall separate you from the love of Christ? Nothing. Tribulation? Nothing. Distress? Famine? He's nothing.
Not even sin.
Not even sin. Sin is distress. What do you think that be? It be. He says, height, depth, nothing. That's a strong love, isn't it? And he did it all for you. Now you narrow it down. You know, he did it for us, but you got to say, you know what? He did it for me. If you had been the only person around, and he says, yeah, I'll do it. For him? Yeah, for him. And he just says, you know what? Trust him tonight. Don't try to figure it out. Because you need to be if you try to figure that out, then you'd be a quartet in heaven. It wouldn't be three, it'd be three and then you. But he works this out on his own. And you get in on it just by believing. So tonight, if you never trusted him, just him, you can say in your heart, say, Lord, and I'm not, you read the verses, I'm just repeating them. I believe that Christ died for my sins according to the scriptures. He wrote it. I believe that he was buried. I believe you raised him for my justification. And the scripture said, you know what? He said, it was written for you. And after, when you do that, remember we talked about all those process words? There's a whole lot of things that happen to you when you do that. And he's saying, you know what? Come back. Find somewhere where you can find out what I've done. Find out what I've done. You know, I come in, she gave me a package. It had a wrapper on it. I didn't know what it was. She said, here, I got something for you. She gave me that. She said, here, take that. Oops. Thank you. It's a gift. Thank you. What is it? It's heavy. It must be something good. But she said, well, open it up right now. Well, that's what the Lord said. He said, I got a gift for you. And it's salvation. And then he says, I put it in here. And he says, open it up. Open it up and see what's in it. You don't have to, because it's free. But when you open it up and see what's in it, you're going to say, wow. Wow. That? You'll never doubt your salvation. If you open it up and see what's in it, you'll never doubt it. Because you find out that everything he done it completely and freely. And the scripture says we've been justified freely by his grace. He's just good. He's just good to us. So when you leave here, you may not come back here, but don't let that stop you from trusting him tonight. If you never did it, I would make a strong recommendation
to do that.
To do that. tonight. And you know what? And just go back and you say, you know what? When those doubts come in your mind, my pastor used to say this. He says, write the day down. Write the day down. You know, what's your birthday? How you know that? Somebody told you that, didn't they? You don't know when you were born, like he was around. You don't know. But today could be your birthday. December 27th. Night, what, 7? 10 minutes to 7? 2011. All right. My birthday. You can write it down. And you know what? When the devil say, you ain't saved, boy. And you say, oh, yeah, I am. Because he told me. He told me, oh, not me told you. He told you on December 27, 2011, if I trusted him, he said I was saved. And you stick that in. I remember when I got saved, it was in August. I don't remember the date, but I remember the day. It was in August. It was on Saturday, about 1 o'clock. I was sitting in my grandmother's living room, and I was reading a Power for Living book. You know, that was when all the sports people talked about. They got saved, and they put that in the book. Now, I had already been going to church, drag you to church, and I would be sitting in church looking at the clock. Wait, because, you know, I'm waiting for kickoff, because if he go past 1 o'clock, I know I missed the kickoff. So I sit in the back. I've already made my mind up that I'm not walking down there. Every time he says it, I'll say, yeah, I want to be saved, but I'm just not going to do that. I'm not walking down there. And when he dismissed, I go out, go home, and for some reason, I'll say for some reason, just the Lord and his grace, I picked this book up. What is my grandmother doing with a Power for Living book? Or sports, you know. She's not a sports fan. I don't know how she got it. But, you know, that's why I say I don't think it's not an accident that you come here.
Amen.
This, the Lord, he's calling. He's calling. He's calling. Every time you hear the gospel, he's calling. So I read this book, and I say, wow. Flip to the back, and he says, these are stories of men, you know, who trusted the Lord, and guys I didn't even know. I was like, man, these are my sports heroes. And he started reading, and it says, you too could be saved. You too could experience the joy that these men speak about. And he started reading, and it says, here's the gospel. Christ died for your sins. He was buried, rose again the third day. If you trust him, he'll save you. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. I read it, I said, you know what? The first thing I said, I could have been saved a long time ago. For this guy putting me, you know, come down here. And I'm sitting right here in the comfort of my own home and get saved. And when I went back, I felt the joy then because the burden had been lifted off of performing. Where, and I'm thinking, why won't he tell these people they don't have to do that? Now here's that. I got saved and I knew I was saved. But here's where the other part is, where you have to grow. Come back and learn. I got saved and I didn't grow. I didn't read. I didn't grow. I tried to read, but that's where you get in the Bible class where you learn how to do this, how to grow. I tried it on my own. And I said, well, I got to read. I just started Genesis. It didn't make a lick of sense. I said, that's enough of that. I said, forget that. I mean, what? Just like a book, right? You start in the beginning. So I began to read. I was like, this don't make sense at all. I said, forget it. And I was in college. I know what it's like to be in college. And I said, well, forget it. And I said, when I get out of college, I was like, I'm going to live it up. I was like, I can't wait to, I'm going to be on my own. I said, I'm going to live it up. And the Lord said, you're going to live it up all right. And you know what? He caught me because I belong to him. Amen. Even though I didn't grow, that's what I talk about when you get saved. It's just starting. You're going to do a whole lot of foolish things between now and then. But he caught me. And he says, you won't live it up, but I got other plans for you. And somebody was instrumental, like Melissa brought y'all here. Somebody is instrumental in your life. Other saints, where they lead you in and show you there's something more for you. Amen. And there was one, somebody showed me there was something more for me, and that was 20 years ago. And I wouldn't have dreamt that I would be doing this today. And all I can say is because of his grace.
Amen. How old are you, Frank?
45.
You learned quick, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Well, you know, do Genesis a little bit better, I guess, than you did back then.
You know what? But it's, Paul said this. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God.
That's right.
And you learn over time, you know what? If one man died for all, then we're all dead. Mm-hmm. And the lives that we live, we don't live to ourselves, but we live to him who died and rose again. You don't get that overnight.
No.
You get that through time.
But you're 28 years old, and now you're 48.
Right.
I was 64 45. When Ed said, come and see. And I'm 66 now. And
you're 3 years old.
Longer,
huh? You're a three-year-old babe.
That's
are
right.
You expecting more?
That's right. I'm a three-year-old saint.
Right, right. That's right.
There's one in lies.
But that's right. But you're not the same person you were 3 years ago.
And it's harder every time you learn this and realize how bad you really are.
That's right.
Not meaning bank robbery or anything like that, but
we know that, Frank.
But
right,
watch your wallet before you leave here.
But what he's saying is true. Is the more you grow, the more you realize that I really did need saving.
Right.
And you're not that hot. You realize that.
You're right.
And you become more and more appreciative. And he says this: the love of Christ constrains me.
Amen.
If I wanted to go out, you know, if I wanted to go out in the world and fool around and act a fool, I could do that. But his love won't let me stray too far.
Yeah.
He says, how could you do that?
Yeah.
That's what I died for.
Right. Grieve
him. And I say, Lord, I said, you're right.
Amen.
And your love, not my love for him. His love for me constrains me. And I said, you know what? How could I do the Lord like that? Who gave so much for me?
He gave you a hot wife and she would cut your throat.
Okay.
Well, with that.
With that, right. But that's it. That's the message tonight. I'll say again, if you haven't trust him tonight. If you got questions, you have people here who can help you. Melissa, Sharon, Lawrence, Karen, Ed, Ron, Annette, Frank.
Saint Frank.
If you don't want to do it now, come back. But don't leave with questions.
They have a long drive when they go home.
They have a long drive. So let's have a word of prayer and we'll stop. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity to speak on your behalf. We pray for all these people here tonight who have come out this evening. Lord, we pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, the day of assurance of salvation, to trust you and only you for the forgiveness of sins. We believe that you died for us. We believe that you were buried for us. We believe that you rose again the third day for us. And we place our faith in your finished work. And Lord, we trust you for salvation. We believe the verses that said that we are complete in you. We believe the verse that said that we are sealed until the day of redemption. And Lord, we thank you for that great work that you've performed on our behalf. As your word says, we thank you for your unspeakable gift. We leave here where we pray that the Holy Spirit would bring all these things into our remembrance constantly, that we might learn to trust in your finished work and in the truth of your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 What's back of that?